Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 16, and we're going to be talking about the coming judgment. Are you aware? Have you heard that there's a judgment day? Sometimes we forget that not only is God kind, as Romans 11:22 says, but he is also severe. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. There is severity to those who have fallen, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. These are scary verses of Scripture. What is the judgment seat of Christ? What is this great white throne judgment that is coming to us? Let me ask you a question, Christians. Are you going to stand before this judgment seat? Yes. The Bible says in Romans 14, 10 and 12, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Each of us shall give an account of himself to God. This is a scary time. You and God, you giving an account of your life before him. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Are you scared? You should be. How are the unbelievers judged? Well, this is the day of reckoning. This is the day in which the wrath of God, which has been stored up before all of creation, will come upon them. And the degree of their punishment will be determined for what they have done that is bad. People sometimes say, isn't hell hell? Well, yes, but there are degrees of punishment, the same way there are degrees of reward. And Jude's going to talk a little bit about that. Now, believers, when you stand before the judgment seat, right? What are you there to receive or not receive? The Bible tells us rewards. There will be degrees of rewards for the good that you did, and there will be punishment if you are an unbeliever for the bad that you did. Listen what the Bible says as far as you're blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they spur your name as evil. On my account, rejoice. Leap for joy for what? Great is your reward in heaven. For all of you who go through persecution because you're always sticking up for Christ, you're always sharing his word, you're always putting yourself out there, there is a reward for all the persecution you've experienced. But the Bible tells us that for those who are hard and unrepentant in heart, they are storing up wrath for themselves on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each according to his works. Let me put it really just very succinctly with one image. God's justice will be satisfied on that day of reckoning. And if you stand before him by yourself, on your own, you're done. Do you all know you're sinners? Do you all know that you're worthy of eternal punishment? The only difference between them standing before the great judgment seat of Christ and us is this. Christ is by our side. And every sin that has been put up on that board, every evil that we have done, Christ says, I paid for that. That's forgiven. So if you don't have Christ, you have no hope. But if you have Christ, there is hope of eternal pardon. Your sins paid in full. The words that Jesus used on the cross was tetelestai, it is finished, meaning it's paid in full. Jude will go on to say later in the benediction, and I'm getting to the judgment on the false teachers, but here's what he says to the believers who he's writing to. This is Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, Christ will present us before the judgment seat, before the Father, blameless. You should be jumping for joy for that. Because I haven't lived a blameless life, but when I stand before the judgment seat, I will be blameless because of Christ. So let's get to the real point of Jude. And that is these men who have studied the scriptures, who have looked at the word of God, and have come to a conclusion contrary to scripture. They have studied the word only to deceive the masses. Jude is now going to lay down what's coming upon them. In the book of Luke, we're told that those people who knew what the master wanted but did not do it, they are going to receive many, 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 many severe beatings, as it's put here. So here's what Jude says. This is our text. This is Jude 1:14. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying. Now, who is he talking about? There's Adam in the beginning. There was Adam. And then if you go down seven generations, there's a man by the name of Enoch. And this is where it gets a little controversial. There is a book of Enoch that some say was written by Enoch. And the only testimony we have about Enoch is found in the canon of the scriptures tells us that Enoch lived to be 365 years of age. How many people know that was not very old back then? Yeah. I mean, people were living 900 years. He was cut down in the prime of his life, 365. But here's the testimony. Enoch walked with God, and he was not because God took him. Enoch, God must have been like, this man walks with me every day of his life. He's learned every lesson there is to learn. I'm just going to take him. The book of Hebrews tells us this about Enoch, that by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, for he was not found because God had taken him, and here's why God took him. Now, therefore, he was taken because he pleased God. Great example. Now, did Enoch write a book? No. And all the church fathers agree that Enoch did not write a book. So my question is, why is Jude quoting a prophecy that Enoch gave if Enoch never gave a prophecy and never wrote a book? And many people argue, well, because Jude, which is an inspired book of the Bible, says that Enoch did write a book and did prophesy, therefore the book of Enoch should be canonized. And others have said, well, because Jude canonized this book that shouldn't be canonized, Jude shouldn't be canonized. You understand? So why? What can we derive from this? Here's my thoughts. Like all false teachers, they put all their authority in false books. My guess is these false teachers always quoted Enoch and the book of Enoch. And what Jude is seeking to do here is saying, even Enoch in his book condemns you, using their own authority against them. So here's what Enoch says that goes against these teachers. That God is coming to execute judgment on all, to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such ungodly ways, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him, meaning God. Here's the exact quote. This is from 1 Enoch 1:9, and most of it is absolutely right. Now, why would he quote this? And my guess, again, it's an educated guess, is because these men were teaching that there was no judgment. There was no judgment seat coming. They didn't have to stand before a judgment seat. So that is why there is a quote. Now, here's what Enoch condemns them for. Grumbling, being malcontents, and following their own sinful desires. They were grumblers. Yes, they were like these people. They were the modern day, or less the modern day in the time of the Bible. What does it mean to grumble? Well, the word literally means to murmur or to complain under one's breath. Grumblers are people that are just mumble. They just mumble. The only difference between a grumbler and a malcontent is the volume of the complaint. The grumblers do it under their breath. The malcontents are just like We're unhappy and we're very loud about it. We're not grumbling, we're just malcontents. What is a malcontent? Here they are. They're the ones who are always complaining and always discontent. You say to a malcontent, it's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? That's all right. Could be warmer. You come to the next day, say, it's a beautiful day, and it's warm outside. I don't know. It's a little too warm for me now. I mean, they got one temperature, 73.6. Anything above or below, they're unhappy. These are the malcontents. These are the people that are always on social media websites complaining about everything. If they had nothing to complain about, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. They're grumblers, they're complainers, they're malcontents. What aren't they? Notice malcontent. They are not content. Do you all believe that there's something godly about being content? How about this verse of scripture from 1 Timothy 6:8? But godliness with contentment is what?
Great gain.
Great gain. I have God, I have everything I need, and I'm totally content. How many people know that you have more than you need? How many people know that you're more blessed than you probably should be blessed? So what are you complaining about? These are the malcontents. These are the grumblers. These are the complainers. These are the people that never have enough. And as Paul said to Timothy, those who desire to be rich, they fall into many temptations and many senseless, harmful desires. I mean, they're just always wanting more. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. And they never get enough. That's your malcontent. These are your grumblers. But they're following their sinful desires. That is to say, they're following their lust, their cravings, everything they want, all their desires. How many people know these people exist in the church? It's all about their desires and what they want. So what Jude is going to do is talk about the church and personal achievements. These people were loud. Here's the way Jude describes them. They were loud-mouth boasters, always boasting, always bragging, always talking about, you know, their ministry and how big it is and how great they are and how many books they sold and da-da-da-da-da. And they were always showing favoritism to gain personal advantage. They'd read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, and they were masters at it. How many of you know these people exist in the church? Boasters. What does it mean to boast? They're always talking, they're always exaggerating and being extravagant how great they are and what they've done. They're always looking at how they can get admiration and how they can gain advantage. Advantage is all about gaining profit. You know, there's people trying to promote themselves. It's all about me. I went to a school that was pretty self-focused, and I noticed all the ministers, every time they talked, it was always about my ministry. My ministry. Emphasis on what? My ministry has done this, and my ministry has done that, and my, oh my. How many people know you have no ministry? There's only one ministry. That's God's ministry. There's only one kingdom. That's God's kingdom. You're either doing God's work as a servant, or you're doing your own thing. There ain't no in between. It's either all about you, or it's all about God and His kingdom. And that's the difference Jude is trying to say about the false teachers. But what I've discovered in my own Christian life is this takes a while, because we come out of a self-focused mind. Even the disciples, after 3 years with Jesus, on the night that he was going to be put to death, what are they talking about? They're arguing about greatness. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the top dog? Who's going to be the number one person? It's human nature to always think in terms of yourself and your greatness. What Jude is going to get to is the same thing Jesus got to, is that it's not about you. Everything you got was a gift. Freely you have received, freely you must give. Don't preach the gospel for gain. Preach it freely. It's all about using a gift that isn't even you. They reject God's authority, and here's the way Jude puts this. But you must remember, beloved, the prediction of the apostle of our Lord. He's talking about Peter. He says apostles, but he's really talking about Peter. When they said, in the last time, there will be scoffers. What's a scoffer? He's actually quoting Peter in 2 Peter 3 and 3. Says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come on the last day. And notice the scoffers, they will follow their own sinful desires. What's a scoffer? Does anybody know? They criticize. Here's exactly what the scoffing that they said that they were doing in the day of the early church, these false teachers. Here's what they were all saying. Where is the promise of his coming? See, the apostles said that Jesus was coming back. Jesus himself said he was coming back. These false teachers said, these apostles are wrong because Jesus has not come back. The scoffers were scoffing or mocking the apostles and this teaching about Jesus returning. What they were saying is, well, wait, Maranatha, Jesus is coming soon? Well, I don't know. He's not here yet. Revelation, the apostle John says, behold, I'm coming soon. They were using these scriptures to put the apostles down and to exalt themselves. Huh. So Peter says this. Listen, this it gets really exciting. So Peter says this about the mockers who say, where is the promise of his coming? Listen to what Peter says. Peter says, do not overlook one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. What's he saying? It could be what? Our timetable, when Jesus said, I'm coming soon, that's heaven's I'm coming soon. That's not earth's I'm coming soon. So if this is true, that one day is as 1,000 years, it's only been 3 days. As a matter of fact, here's the exciting part. We're in the third day. Right? It's been over 1,000 years? We're in the third day. What does that mean? I mean, Jesus could come in any minute. Because Jesus likes to come on the third day. And there's a resurrection on the third day. It would only make sense that this scripture would have something to do with his coming after 3 days. So to sum up what they were saying is there's no judgment day. There's no day of reckoning. There's no giving an account. Jesus isn't coming soon. So what does that all mean for all of us guys? We can simply just do as we please. We can take this Bible and make it say whatever we want it to say, and we can live any way we want to live and justify anything with the scriptures, and we don't have to worry about Jesus coming soon. He finally just describes them as worldly people who are devoid of the Spirit. And what does it mean to be worldly? Well, in 1 John, we're told that anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You show me a man who loves the world, loves the things of the world, and I'm going to tell you, the love of God is not in him. What does he go on to say? For all that is in the world, by the way, that's not Matthew, by the way. That should be the scripture we just looked at. This is found in 1 John. Here's what it says. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, that's the world. You're controlled by your fleshly desires. We all battle fleshly desires. This is you live for them. The desires of your eyes, that's materialism, that's possessions, you live for that. And then finally, the pride of life. So I want to close this part of Jude by just quoting from Peter, because remember, Peter and Jude are connected. And so here's the great takeaway that you need today. Here it is, 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, my beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people, false teachers, bad teachers. Take care that you're not carried away by all those lawless false teachers. And therefore, he says, and you lose your own stability.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.